Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the globe. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you becoming the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. In this episode, we're going really deep on what the great perceptual mistake all husbands make is. It's quite a big statement to make, but I include myself in that. There is not one husband out there that does not make this unwitting mistake. We're going to be going really deep into this, and like, what is this great perceptual mistake? It is this: taking your initial brain print off as absolute reality. We have the great unwitting tendency that whatever our brain tells us, whatever our emotional response is in marriage, and by extension in life, we take that as like this absolute reality. You know, if I'm thinking it, well, it must be true. And it's the mother of all screw-ups in marriage and in life. It's the mother of all screw-ups in that it breeds immense disconnection between yourself and your wife. This is the one part that, if you get this, if you take this on board with great, I always speak about heroic humility, the hummus, the ground of truth of where you're truly at. And it's not where you are at in many senses. It's like where your mind is at in marriage. What I really love, I've shared this with you before, one of the most descriptive I'm trying to find here for meditation. I was trying meditation for years, and when I read this, it's like it brought just a whole new depth to it. Meditation is the process of coming to know your mind. Now, I've been speaking recently of the distinction between, you know, the path marriage is, there's two approaches to marriage, entitlement or enlightenment. Well, the enlightenment path, which is the path to self-mastery, and the path of self-mastery is at the masculine core of every single man alive. You know, when we're really committing ourselves in a dedicated and devoted way to the process of self-mastery, that's when a man becomes most alive in his expression. He finds he's coming from his core, his truth. He's feeling revitalized merely knowing that, you know, coming to the end of his days, like, he's dedicated himself to self-mastery. He gets up the next morning, he knows, you know, he's already alive. His whole entire nervous system is tuned in, tapped in, turned on to the source energy inside of himself, to entheos, enthusiasm, the God within, because of being on the path of self-mastery. And, you know, by direct effect, your marriage takes up so much of your perceptual reality, of your lived reality. I mean, it's the number one relationship outside of your relationship with yourself and God, your maker, your creator. But in the physical human realm, it's the number one relationship, or in many, like, it certainly should be, because it's front and center. What I would encourage you to start looking at is, marriage is the process of coming to know your mind, in a way. Because the process of self-mastery is realizing, you know, what you're thinking, you're taking action, you're talking, you're speaking, what role that has in the reality that you're creating. And marriage is, why it's so uncomfortable for us as men, is it is this brutally honest mirror of where we're at or where we're not at. Now, we can avoid that by taking the initial print off of her brain as being the absolute reality. But what we're 99.9% of the time doing, especially in moments of conflict and moments when, you know, I'm not really talking about the initial print off of, like, sort of the nice happy moments and all of that. It's key. What we do in conflict, sets the foundation, whether sets the foundation for our marriage, whether that foundation is built on sand or that foundation is built on, you know, just volcanic rock in underneath it, just depends how you approach it. I want to bring in here like two parts of the marriage mastery system, the Be the Husband She Brags About marriage mastery system. There's an entire code that has been formed. I want to speak to this, to the pillars of stillness and story. Stillness. The heroic husband practices finding inner stillness in readiness to face every feminine storm of woman and life. It's key here. The stillness is like the mental, it's the process of conscious awareness, being the witnessing awareness that's looking on at the story, at the thoughts, at the emotions as they rise up. Remember, the masculine core practice is being embodied consciousness. It's presence. And presence is being present and consciously aware of everything that's emerging within you and in front of you in life and not getting sucked into it. So there's a core stillness. Story. The heroic husband practices self-awareness of his story of blame, shame, and claiming thoughts, and claims extreme ownership for the thoughts he chooses to create his married life with. Absolute key. And yet none of that awareness and none of this awareness of blame, shame, and claiming thoughts and your capacity to consciously choose the thoughts you're going to create your marriage with, your sex life with, your deep intimacy, you're going to create the conflict resolution, the path to conflict resolution when you immediately, you just get caught in that downward spiral of unconscious conflict. You won't have any of that creative potentiality if you're making this perceptual mistake. Let's go deeper in this. Let's take like a common experience for most husbands out there. You can, if you have some, you know, moments of conflict, moments recently, I think every guy will have some moment or experience that was really intense, you know, a deep conflict that you had, or just mightn't be a, like even the most catastrophic thing, something that was just deeply irritating where there was like a distinct disconnect between yourself and your beautiful queen. I'm going to just take one, and it's a very common one. It's like we go off into town, we go to work, and we've been asked to bring something back. We've been asked to remember something for the family outside of our work commitments, etc. So let's use the example. You come in the door from work and your wife, you know, there's a little bit of greeting, and then it's like, oh, did you bring the dry cleaning? Did you pick it up on the way home? And you're like, oh no, I forgot. And your wife says, I can't believe you forgot to pick up the dry cleaning again. So your wife has landed this statement. And of course, it could be a tone of voice. There's the look on her face. There's her body language. But there is the process of perception. And I want to get down into the details on this because, again, the superpower of the vast majority of men, of husbands, you know, our superpower by nature and nurture in a profoundly sick society, we have been sharpening the sword of our rational mind. We have been shunted away from our feeling intelligence, our emotional guidance intelligence, our intuitive nature, all these amazing, beautiful feminine aspects of ourselves, and we've shunted into the rational mind. So we love the juice, the black and white juicy parts of mechanistic thinking. When you can figure out the mechanism, the process, you can create a pattern break. So I'm calling upon, you know, that superpower in you. The vast majority of guys have this superpower in the seated in the rational mind, or the magician archetype. Breaking perception down. The process of perception breaks down into three individual components. This is from a purely neurophysiological perspective. for a perception to happen. So your wife goes, I can't believe you forgot to bring up to pick up the dry cleaning again. Number one is a stimulus. The stimulus is your wife saying that to you. Let's just get really sort of black and white, simplify it. It's like she says that line to you. The second part of the perception that's necessary is the sensory organs. You know, your eyes, that's sight, your ears, hearing, your skin, tactile, touch, your tongue, taste, and your nose for smell. This is like going very rudimentary. Stick with me. This is all very important. So you need your sense organs. In this example here, you know, there's sight. You're picking up your sense organ of your eyes. You're picking up body language, you know, the look in her eyes, the grimace in her face, the facial expressions, a ton of that, the overall posture, etc., etc. You know, has she stepped forward with an aggressive stance? Is she folding her arms, etc., etc.? So there's tons of visual stimuli being picked up by your eyes. Then there's the hearing, your ears. Clearly, there's a verbal communication. So you're picking up the words, the sound waves, hits your ears, all of that super cool neurophysiological picking up of the stimulus goes into the central processing. So you're picking up the words, but you're also picking up tone of voice. There's lots of the subtleties of the sound expression being picked up. So at this point, it's like the stimulus, the event has happened. Your sensory organs, the appropriate parts, the sight and the hearing predominantly, maybe, hopefully, the touch part isn't there. She hasn't hit you a clout across the face. We're hoping this is just it's just a verbal expression with a little bit of maybe body language histrionics going on at max, and taste and touch. Well, maybe if you're smelling fear, I don't know if you're like this super sensitivity beyond that. But let's just keep it simple. There's sight and hearing picking up on this stimulus at hand. At this point, okay, this is all sort of pretty black and white at this point. There's no crazy perceptual mistake happening yet. It's point number three, which is the most important point of perception. And this is the route where the great mistake, the unwitting mistake of every single husband out there, this is where we make the biggest screw-ups in our marriage that paints sort of black shit all over our marriage. This is the root mistake that unwittingly paints disconnection over our whole marriage and erodes the trust, erodes the connection, erodes the love, the feeling of love, to the point at which we're in the same room, same space, same whatever, but we've lost complete touch with the initial love, the initial beautiful connection, the initial enthusiasm of let's get married because like such a beautiful idea, like live forevermore with this beautiful woman, etc., etc. This point number three is where it all goes pear-shaped. It all goes wrong. Point number three, after point one, the stimulus happens. I can't believe you forgot to pick up the dry cleaning again. Point two, your sensory organs, sight and hearing picks it up. Eyes, ears picks it up. That data then is brought into the central processing part of your deeper brain. Point three, the third essential aspect to in the process of perception is a set of neuronal circuits in the brain then organize and make sense of the signals received from the sense organ. Just repeating this again. Point three, a set of neuronal circuits in the brain then organize and make sense of the signals received from the sense organs. They organize, and I'm literally circling on the page as I'm speaking because it's part of my nervous system going, oh, that's where the juice is, guys. These words are potent, are important. The most important words of point number three that I want you to, you know, your entire, in your perceptual experience of what I'm saying, I want you to pay absolute attention to is the neuronals, the set of neural circuits in the brain that organize and make sense of it. There's all of these neuronal circuits that have habitually formed over time in patterns that make sense. The making sense is the key part, because an inherent part of perception is we don't perceive in a black and white absolute truth. Matter of fact. Oh, it's matter of fact. We very often in our thinking, we'd be like, oh, it's very matter of fact. I mean, like, you know, if you think of this situation here, what's like a really common thing that I saw myself for years, still get caught with this, by the way. I just like put my hand up. I still get caught. This is a perceptual mistake I get caught in this exact process. It's the making sense part of my nervous system, my brain, when it makes sense, but I'm feeling disconnected and I'm blaming Matilda, or I'm sort of caught in a little shaming loop in myself, I make that mistake. It's like, it's a regular thing. It's just how fast I can catch it. I've got very good at catching it with training, with coaching, with all this process, you know, going deep in this every single week. It's like my nervous system is primed to catch it. But for the first 12 years of marriage, oh my God, I used to get caught in this, because my nervous system would make sense in a way that would blame Matilda. Like if I forgot something, if I heard that like for years, oh, I can't believe you forgot to pick up the dry cleaning again. The making sense part goes, went immediately to like the immediate printout is like, oh my God, here she goes again. It would go to blaming. It's like, oh, can't believe you forgot to pick up the dry cleaning again. Oh, the word again. Oh, again, she's on my case again. Like, I can't get off with anything. Like, she's bringing up the past. She's like, again, it's like there's part of my head, my mind would go all righteous. It's like, yeah, well, there's plenty of times when I remember to bring it. Like, well, why are you getting on my case? You know, and you're bringing up you're only remembering the times that I screw up. Like, what the fuck is with that? There'd be thoughts in my head of shaming myself. It's like, oh man, you know, like, she's right, I fucked up again. I fucking is like, do the simple thing. Why can't I just do the simple thing and remember the damn thing? It's fucking like it screws up. I've screwed up again, and I beat the shit out of myself. So can you start seeing like the making sense part is the crucial part where let's just slow down. I want to go deeper in this. So the perception, just let's retrace. Perception, there's three parts that are necessary. The stimulus, I can't believe you forgot to pick up the dry cleaning again. The sensory organs that brings that information and feeds it into the central processing. And the third part, a set of neuronal circuits in the brain that organizes and makes sense. It gives sense to the signals received from the sense organs. Let's go deeper on the making sense part. This is like slowing down to speed up here. It's so crucial to all of your reality. This is at the core of all the mystical traditions. It's at the core of Buddhism. It's at the core of peak performance psychology. Is getting into the printout of your nervous system, of your brain, and the meaning it gives, how it makes sense of a situation. You create your entire life from there. Because if it makes sense in a certain way and you just keep going with it, you're never, if you go with the old programming, the old reactive ways, you're never going to gain a creative control over your reality. And like the peak performer, they're never going to become number one in the world. They're never going to, the CEO is never going to perform at his or her best. The husband is never going to perform in, like, again, reminder, the number one most challenging and difficult leadership position in the planet at the moment, in my opinion, is being a husband. There's so many years of shaming of the feminine principle in us and in women, but like women pick that up acutely, shaming of women, and women are like really, there's a kickback of that and they're coming into their full power. It's really challenging for men. It's exceptionally challenging for men at the moment. So we really need to be identifying with leadership. And the role of leadership, it's the most important, I would say, and the most challenging is showing up in Heroic Husband with that identity to, you know, gift the next seven generations the best platform for happiness and health and humanity to thrive going forward. Our capacity to lead in an inspiring way with embodied presence all comes in understanding what's going on under the bonnet of our perceptions. So the neuronal circuit that makes sense, what happens there in a super quick manner is, this is key, the emotional brain centers light up quicker than the rational centers. So what this means on a practical basis is, it's the emotional brain, or the limbic center, decides if something is good or bad. Interconnected neurophysiological thalamus is sort of like this central circuit board sorting center. It lights up the limbic center, which nanoseconds, which from a neurophysiological perspective makes a massive difference. It's the limbic center that gets lit up first. So it's the limbic center, the emotional center, that decides in sort of a simplified way, but it's quite rudimentary what happens. It decides in this first nanosecond, is this good or is this bad? Now, sort of like the old William Shakespeare thing, there's nothing good or bad, but thinking makes it so. But it's actually feeling, it's the emotions. There's a level deeper to that. The thinking comes immediately after. So the emotional brain decides, oh, is this good or is this bad? Before conscious awareness has a chance to decide, the rational brain has a chance to weigh all the options up and go, okay, well, from an objective perspective, is this good or is this bad? No, there's this initial tsunami or volcano of emotional reactivity. And where does that come from? It comes from programmed past experience. This is crucial, guys. The making sense part of our perceptual experience is programmed by past experience. I would say very often it's like blinded by past experience. The stimulus that your nervous system is experiencing in the present moment. You know, your wife says, oh, I can't believe you forgot to pick up the dry cleaning again. With whatever tone of voice, the words, with whatever way she, you know, behaviorally, posturally shows up, whatever your sight can see, the grimace on her face, the facial expressions, what her eyes are doing, her posture is doing, etc. The whole communication from her, that triggers our past experience. It triggers hundreds of thousands of past experiences in similar type situations. And the main programming happens 0 to 8 years of age. It's predominantly programmed by what we saw our dad, our stepdad, mom, stepmom, whatever. The main masculine, feminine embodiers in our role models in our lives. And let's just sort of assume that's like husband, dad, but you husband and wife, you know, whatever the social dynamic, family dynamic setup. I mean, it doesn't really make a big difference. But it's what you witnessed between them. Of course, if your dad was just not present and there was nobody around, or there was boyfriends around, like vice versa, it doesn't matter. We have all our belief systems who are set down. And it's the belief systems that are set down from these hundreds and thousands of experiences. You know, if when we saw our the men and women, the man and woman in our life growing up, and the impressions that had on us, that's what programs us to react, our emotional center to react with nanosecond judgments of, is this good or is this bad? The vast majority of the time, in this simple example and the hundreds and thousands of examples that ye guys will have coming up, what happens is this good or bad, Like, think about it. I can't believe you forgot to pick up the dry cleaning again. What that triggers is like the thousands of memories we have, subconscious memories. We mightn't have a library of the conscious mind. Maybe we have some key memories that come back of particularly intense conflicts that our parents went through, step-parents, etc. These subconscious memories, the stimulus in front of us, the subconscious mind makes a super quick, specific parts in the brain that notice patterns. They make a really blunt, rudimentary, not very precise connotation. They make a link in a pattern. It's like, if this stimulus in front of me, this woman, is passing a sort of a judgment or she's giving me feedback, it'll make any bit of a link with the subconscious library of memories we have of the past, and it'll link them in like they're the exact same thing. So if you have tons of subconscious memories of, you know, your mother criticizing your dad, your stepdad, lots of arguments, etc., etc., I'm going to oversimplify this. Maybe you feel that your dad got the rough end of the stick. Your dad was working. A classic example is your dad was working away from home so much. Your mother didn't feel honored, didn't feel seen, heard, and what didn't feel safe as a result of that. So she sort of criticized your dad a lot. You took this subconsciously on in your nervous system. It's like, oh, she's always criticizing dad. Maybe you got caught up criticizing your dad yourself to gain the support of your mother and that. But ultimately, as you grow up into a man, you started seeing it. This classically happens. We start relating a bit more with our dad. We start seeing in marriage, it's like, man, this is actually hard shit. I judge you so much growing up, but man, there was like you were getting the wrong end of the stick. Like my mom didn't see your power and like your difficulties and your challenges as her husband, as her man, as her king. She was disrespecting you a lot, and you start experiencing or perceiving you're experiencing the same thing, and a pattern repeat takes hold, or you try to do the opposite of your dad. So just getting down into this, you know, it's our perceptions, the making sense part of our brain that jumps into making sense of the stimulus and the situation, what it has perceived, all this data that has come in, it's programmed by past experience. This is the heroic humility part that I really call upon you in this moment. You know, no passive sitting on going, oh, this is very interesting, or maybe it's too theoretical. Let's make this a non-theoretical journey as always. Lean in. Are you getting like that the program passed, how it triggers off this reaction within you? Because every guy that I've spoken with, every guy in men's group, every guy, without any exception, gets caught up in conflict in the moment when disconnection comes in and your woman comes in. And in this type of an example, the most common sort of perceptual reality to print out of the nervous system, the brain, is it's like, oh, she's rejecting me, or oh, she's just criticizing me, she's putting me down again, she's shaming me, she's on my case again. It's this sort of victim. We're a victim of our woman that just doesn't understand. She's like, she's insensitive to my needs, she's inconsiderate, etc., etc., etc. And that's the second part. You see, the emotional brain makes this rudimentary, really actually inaccurate, thinks it recognizes an exact pattern from the past, and it jumps to this conclusion, good or bad. The vast majority of the time, as I say, our core masculine male nervous system will have an imprint of this is bad. And what happens then is a neurochemical gush of an emotional charge floods our nervous system. So it's like fear, anxiety, or repulsion, rage with her, anger, you could feel guilty, you've screwed up again, etc., etc. That floods the rational brain, and that triggers thoughts with that emotional imprint. Now let's simplify what happens with the thoughts. There's one of three ways thinking can go. But if the initial, there's Shame, blame, or claim. Just repetition is mastery. Those of you that have been following me along, three different types of thoughts. Shaming, that's thoughts against yourself. Blaming, in this moment, it's thoughts against your wife. Claiming thoughts are claiming their answers to the question, what am I not taking extreme ownership of here? This is where you want to shift. But the first mix off is predominantly shame or blame thoughts. Remember, the chemical cascade. There's like, oh, this is bad. She's on my case. And it floods your rational center. And that's where we find the words to describe and give meaning. Remember, the making sense in the perceptual reality, that third step. Your wife says this, your sensory organs perceive it, and the making sense part. If there's like, oh, this is bad, and it gives like what we would call a negative emotional flooding of the system with those neurochemicals, and the rational brain then picks it up. Like, guys, touch base with yourself. Where does your brain go in conflict? When your wife gives you feedback, do you perceive it as black and white feedback? Oh, she's giving me feedback. You know, like, oh, I can't believe you forgot to pick up the dry cleaning again. Oh, well, objectively speaking, she's actually given me feedback that I have forgotten. I actually committed to do that this morning. And, you know, I now have not done it. And, oh, she's actually put in the word again with quite a bit of emphasis on that. So from her tone of voice, you know, like objectively, does your nervous system pick it up? Oh, she said again. Or, you know, the classic things of women is like, oh, you always forget stuff. It's like, oh, always. Or she's saying again. So she's putting an emphasis. Well, it's clearly not always, but clearly there's a part of her that is picking up a pattern. And this is really irritating to her because she can't actually trust me. You know, if I'm a man of my word, you know, I'd do what I say I'm going to do. That's like great leaders. You know, they commit to something, they back up their word on small things, big things. They know that that's an inherent part of creating trust. So, yeah, actually, ultimately, I really get it. She's, with the use of the word again, she's pointing to a pattern and she's just calling, she's giving me feedback that I forgot. End of story. Objective. How many of you can put your hand up and go, that's how your brain works in these moments when your woman gives you sudden feedback that you forgot something, or you know, you're late home from work, or you know, all of this list of sort of like the small mundane things that she gets in your case about? How many of you can say that your mind works in such a manner that it takes this super objective way, it's like picks apart with great objectivity what she's saying, takes the inherent feedback on board and goes, yeah, that was brilliant, lovely feedback. I can actually improve and be a better husband, a better communicator, a better leader as a result of that. Thanks, honey. Thank you so much. I give you the answer. Fucking none of us. You know, without substantial training, without substantially doing substantial deep inner work on what? On the perceptual level, again, at that core part, without doing substantial work on the part of your perceptual system that makes sense. This initial, it happens in nanoseconds of linking patterns of the past, linking the present moment. Ah, this is, sometimes it mightn't even be a precise, if there's even a vague connection, this nanosecond vague connection becomes, this is an absolute repeat of a pattern here, this is bad, and the chemical cascade that just drives the thinking pattern of our mind crazy with shaming and blaming thoughts. The vast majority of guys get stuck here, including myself. The only difference between the mark of now today and 3.5-4 years ago is I had no clue this was taking me over, and my printout of the initial like, oh, for fuck's sake, Matilda, here she goes again. She's saying again, like she never gives me any praise for how many times I remember the damn thing she's saying again. She always focuses on the bad shit, and then I'd get into this wrangle shit. The unchecked emotions would be repulsion. I'd want to walk away from her. Would be rage, aggressive, like I'd want to take her down in my inner mental. I didn't have the courage or the capacity to speak it a lot of times. But then when it would come out, the mental blaming, I was beating the shit out of myself, etc., 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 etc. guys, this whole thing, my perceptual, the perceptual setup, because it was set up from the unconscious memories from my past, this trigger happy part of my nervous system would just give this initial printout, and I would take it as absolute truth. It's like if my thinking is saying she's wrong, she must be wrong. And then I just start mouthing off. I'd start speaking from there. Of course, I get a ton of kickback. She's after giving me feedback. She's after giving me stuff. I haven't received it. I'm now blaming her. Now we're into a big blame, like a big blame shame argument, blah, blah, blah. Every guy I coach, this is happening. Every single guy in men's groups around the world, and I've been in space with hundreds of guys at this point and a smaller band of guys over an extended period of time, every single guy, this is the number one issue in their marriage, in their deep intimate relationships. Is it an issue for you? Like, I'm pretty much, you can sort of like self-delude yourself and go, no, it's all her. Like, she's the bitch. Like, she is wrong. She's actually inherently wrong with what she says. She's inherently wrong. You can, of course, and you can say, man, she's getting reactive and she blows the lid way too much. And you can do that. Like, and hey, there could be a part of validity in it, but it's like, how's that working out for you? You know, the righteous, being the righteous sort of umpire or judge of where your woman is out of whack, where her wounds take her over, where she doesn't focus on positivity, etc., etc. How is that perspective working out in your marriage? Like, ultimately, it's a hypothetical question. It's a question that brings humility. Now, some guys, but the guys that just, you're not those guys, actually. You know, if a guy that has that level of righteousness, like narcissistic righteousness to the point to which he is just completely unwilling to soften his guard and lean in and figure out that it's his mind is the thing that's creating everything. I'm telling you, like, he listened to 5 minutes of this podcast and he's probably projectile vomiting mentally and physically all around his life in that moment, because it's taking extreme ownership. It's not on. Ye guys clearly that are listening in, you're not in that band. It's all to do with you. I just want like the unsexy truth here. It's all to do with you. It's all to do with the way your the perceptual part of your brain has been programmed and trained in your childhood to perceive the central woman in your life. And that becomes, you know, your wife. It all has to do with how you, your mind took on all of these meanings with hundreds and thousands of experiences and set up beliefs, and those beliefs are triggered in nanosecond in the moment. Now, that's okay. That doesn't mean, like, the good news in all of this is there's neuroplasticity. The brain can adapt. It can change. The first and most crucial part is like having the humility to take it on board and go, hey, man, it's my mind that has the paintbrush. And if unchecked without any recognition that your perceptual reality is the one with the paintbrush, like the paint is the one that paints negative emotions, these challenging, not very nice emotions, and then paints shaming thoughts and blame thoughts. I mean, you paint the entire situation black and shitty colors. There's a bit of research actually, just to give you some, like, I like going to scientific research when I can. There was an amazing research done, I think it was back in the 70s, where they would put up on the screen in front of, did it with hundreds of different participants, they'd put up a capital T, the letter T. Just have that in your mind, the letter T. So you have the cross part, the horizontal part, which is the top of the letter T. I'm slowing down because obviously podcasts, they don't have the thing in front. So just to build it in your minds, the horizontal part, and then there's the vertical part, which When you put those two lines together, it makes the letter T. Again, just slowing down. Perceptual reality getting very black and white and literal with it. Now, in this research, the horizontal part, the top part of the T, was the exact same length as the vertical part. Exact same. So this was put up quite a big demonstration of it on a screen in front of these participants. The interesting thing is, the participants were asked to what to notice. Like, was there any differences between the length of the top part, the horizontal part of the T, that line, and the vertical part of the T? And three stupendously interesting findings came out. A chunk of people were really sure that the top part, the horizontal part, was the longest. Absolute adamant. They were like, oh, that's the longest part. Another chunk of people were adamant, it's the vertical part. That's the part, that's the longest part of it. And then a small group could recognize that both lines were equal. Now, that's not interesting in itself. That's not explaining anything. Where it gets really, really interesting is they found a direct correlation with where people grew up and the effect that had on their ability to perceive this letter T accurately. People who were raised in predominantly flat environments, like let's say the Netherlands, it's known for being flat, or if in local areas of countries where it's just flat. I know growing up myself, Midlands and Ireland is shaped like a bowl. It's like all the mountains are on the coast, actually. It's actually sort of quite an interesting geography, the way it's set up. The Midlands are flat. There's like very few hills at all. So the people that were raised in flat environments, they had an orientation to the horizon, to flat, to that orientation in their reality was the predominant sort of marker of how they perceived their environment. They were the ones that perceived that the horizontal part was the longest part. It's like their nervous system was set up to link in and overemphasize horizontal parts of their environment, which included their perception of this letter T in front of them. It's like the letter T, and this is the pattern. When I say there's a pattern recognition, which is rudimentary and inaccurate so often, merely because they grew up in the Midlands of Ireland or in the Netherlands, they were perceiving this letter T, which had nothing to do with their country, but because of that perceptual setup, linked in and programmed in early childhood, they perceived that the top part, it was stated as an absolute reality. It's like, oh, the top part, like that's definitely the longest part. The people that grew up in mountainous areas, so it was more an orientation of the emphasis was on vertical, the vertical difference in height, you know, living in a valley, looking up in a mountain, living high up in a mountain, looking down at the valley and all the travel in between. You're always moving in a vertical plane. Well, you've already got there, I imagine. They were the ones that said they were like, totally, absolutely secure and confident and had total clarity. They thought they were perceiving like an absolute reality in front of them. The horizontal part of the letter T in front of them, that was the longest part. And the third group, there was a really strong direct correlation where people had like a little bit of it all. They lived a little bit in the flats, a little bit mountainous, but they had a more, you know, environmentally, they had a more diverse sort of experience growing up. They perceived it as it was. It's like, oh, both parts, the horizontal and the vertical, are the same length. Like, you're probably making the link, but I just want to get it like really explicit. Like, their childhood, their environment that they grew up in, had fucking nothing to do with this letter in front of them. And yet, their mind, their nervous system, their brain, with all of these, the stimulus in front of them, the letter T, the sensory organ sight, the set of neuronal circuits in the brain that organizes and makes sense of the signals received from the sense organ, made a fucking hash of it. Like, two-thirds of them made a hash of it purely from programming of past experience. But there was no pattern link. The pattern link was like just stupidly off. It was crazily off, insanely off. It had no relevance at all. But the pattern link happened at a subconscious level. And they're like, these people were swearing blind. It was like, hey, they knew. It's like the top part, that like the horizontal part of the teeth, that's the longest. So your past experiences completely give a flavor to your present moment that you take as true. Now, my challenge to you here, my invitation, I'm imploring you, because actually you will find it really difficult to turn the needle and transform your marriage if you don't come from this depth. This is why I don't do, like, there's some things, oh, if you say this, like a lot of stuff out there does the really superficial things. Oh, if you change, if you just say these things to your wife, oh, she'd really love you. If you do these things in the bedroom, oh, you'll have a mad sex life. It's an oversimplified version. Some of it can be used. It might work once, maybe, and then your woman just like calls you on your shit again, because she wants, what she wants is like consciousness. She wants embodied presence in front of her. But there'll be no embodied presence in you that she will feel safe in your presence if you don't bring into question the immediate print off of your brain that brings shame on yourself, beating the shit out of yourself. That's fucking no use to her. That's no use. You can't trust that man going into battle. You can't trust a man that beats the shit out of himself. You can't trust him when the economy crashes and all of a sudden the family finances are put in jeopardy and there he is beating the shit out of himself. It's like, it's okay if that's part of your thing, again, from past experiences. That's like no major thing. But if you do that in conflict with her, she can't trust you. And definitely, you know, it's equally just as detrimental if you go into old patterns and you trust blindly the print off and you just start blaming her, because why? You're limbic system, the emotional system, like made an immediate judgment call with an inaccurate pattern recognition. Oh, this is the same thing. This is dangerous. This is bad. And it just takes the whole system down. Until you get the courage and the level of consciousness where you can go, I am bringing myself into question. Remember when I said at the beginning, marriage is the process of coming to know your mind. This is like all my coaching clients in the agreements, one-to-one agreements. One of the agreements is that it will bring a beginner's mind. A beginner's mind is one that is open to everything and anything. It doesn't bring in any bias, any judgments. It doesn't assume that it knows the truth of everything, because it doesn't. A beginner's mind is ready and open for any experience. That level of open-hearted, open-minded curiosity, where you, not in a shameful way, you bring your mind and how it perceives into question always. Guys, I can't overemphasize, this is the foundation where you will transform your marriage, your experience of marriage, when you start doing that, because then the whole system loosens up and then you start realizing, it's like, there's a different way here. I wanted to give it like a metaphor within your mind. Do you know what that initial print off? You know, the metaphor, maybe it'll just, if metaphors stay with us, that's why they're such a potent communication or teaching tool. Maybe I should have brought it earlier on, but I don't want you to go away without hearing this one. Because it's like if a waiter or waitress came down to your table and they're serving you, I don't know, like pancakes. And then they ask you, it's like, oh, sugar or shit with your pancakes, sir? You know, it's like, which do you want? Do you want sugar or shit with your pancakes? Ultimately, you know, the reactive emotions mixed with blame and shame thoughts programmed by past experience, that's like shit. Do you want shit with your pancakes, sir? You know, or sugar? It's like the claiming thoughts, like, where am I not taking responsibility? It's more pleasurable. It's going to lead to a beautiful experience of those pancakes. But like, you know, sugar or shit with your pancakes, sir. You know, clearly with the waiter or waitress, you'd be like immediate. It's like you'd be like, you might be quite indignant. You'd be like, what the fuck? Well, shit with my pancakes is going to ruin the experience. Are you crazy? I'm bringing that outer experience, but, you know, the same choice, your nervous system is giving you the same choice. It's just it doesn't ask you, but it is giving you that choice. I want you in this episode to realize that there's this choice. When you become consciously aware in those initial phases and you bring it to question yourself, you have the same clarity of that waitress asking you, oh, sugar or shit with your pancakes, sir. You'll have the same clarity to go, well, clearly I don't want to add shit to my pancakes. Clearly I don't want to add shit to this marriage situation. I don't want to add shit of unquestioned reactive emotions of fear, of upset, of repulsion. I don't want to spew guilt and aggression and anger all over this situation and all the blame and shaming thoughts along with it. I don't want to add shit to my pancakes. I don't want to add this reactive shit pile of, you know, projectile vomit onto my woman, onto this situation. I mean, that never works. Again, has that ever worked for you? You know, heaping shame on yourself, heaping blame on your woman, just going with the initial printout off your brain, off your nervous system in that moment. Has that ever worked to, like, within a minute, your wife to go, oh, I love you. You know, oh, I feel so understood by you. Oh, you're the king for me. Has it ever brought to immediate resolution? Again, it's a hypothetical question. It never has worked in the history of men and women getting it on, getting together. Definitely not in marriage. Never, ever. Email me in. hello@kingsoffreedom.me and, like, tell me. It's like, oh, it did actually work. I have a memory mark of one time I went with it. Like, I blamed her incessantly. And, like, within a minute, she was like, oh, you're the man for me. I went with, like, a fury of, like, an upsurge of guilt and anxiety and fear or rage and aggression and anger, and she just melted into my arms. Send me an email. If it has worked for me, maybe I'm the dummy in the room, I'm the blind man in the room, but from my data collection in my own life, it has never worked once for me when I went with that adding shit to the situation. Adding shit to the pancakes just doesn't allow a nice experience of pancakes ever. It just doesn't. Just like it's black and white. Adding reactive thoughts, all of this unquestioned stuff. It's okay. It came from your childhood. I get that. That just makes you human. But it just doesn't work in marriage to bring connection, to help your woman feel seen, safe, seen, heard, and safe. The foundational feminine needs. It's the polar opposite when you dump all of this shit on her and you don't realize you're doing it. It never works. This is the number one reason why we struggle in marriage. This is the number one reason why women end up being the ones that disconnect sexually. They're the first partners that disconnect from interest in engaging sexually. They're the first ones, I said that recently, like 60 to 90%, depending on research, or 70 to 90%, they're the first partner in marriage to file for divorce. It's all to do with this, guys. It's all to do with you being aware of this process that happens in your nervous system or not. So this is, like, then the question becomes, of course, we're deep into the mechanics of it all. You know, I hope, it's my hope, well, it's actually my expectation that your intellect is getting the mechanism, is making the links with this, and how there's a direct correlation with you going with those initial printouts as an absolute reality as being like a profound, if not the core central reason why disconnection takes over your marriage progressively as you do the further in you go. So assuming that, the next question is, and this is, I'd leave you very incomplete, if it's like, well, okay, Mark, the next question, the natural question from the curious ones of you all, which you're all very curious and open-hearted, open-minded, powerful, heroic husbands, because you're listening into this. This is provocative. It's calling you to high account. It's calling you to the game here, guys. Kingly brothers, you know, that sounds nice, but I don't use the word kingly brothers. Like, I'm calling you to a standard within yourself. I'm like, this is like not, it's calling myself to a standard. Heroic husbands. It's like, get those in as identities. It's let's set the standard, set the challenge to ourselves, myself included, individually and collectively as a movement, to start showing up as kings, as heroic husbands. And the heroic husband part of us asks the question, well, what next? What am I meant to do with this information? So, okay, I've been programmed, you know, in my childhood. That programming comes out in the heat of the moment. It spews shit everywhere. It puts shit in the pancakes, reactive emotions, blaming, shaming thoughts. Okay, I get it. I'm getting the link. This is like a pretty major point. What do I do with that? Well, I'm going to give you like the 5 minute answer, 5-10 minute answer. This is like the billion dollar question. The answer I'm going to oversimplify, but it starts in bases with working with your perceptions. And there's a part of training that's necessary. It's not enough to intellectually get the mechanism, because why? The momentum of 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 years of perceiving in a certain way, like there's a major lifetime of momentum. The neurocircuitry in the brain, remember, the set of neuronal circuits in the brain that organize and make sense of the signals received from the sense organ, the set of neuronal circuits, they're set. You know, there's this bullshit thing. It's sort of partial truth. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, that's total bullshit. You can. But it takes immense intentionality and training to do so. It's total bullshit. You can teach. You know, you can learn. I had a beautiful testimony come in there recently from a guy I coach one-on-one. He was saying that how he learned and relearned how to connect in a very profound way and relate in a completely different way with his woman. He was 30 years into marriage. It is totally possible. But what do you do? Well, there's a training necessary. There's deep work is necessary. Going this alone, I did not shift the dial in this by just learning. I was learning lots about this. I had years of like studying Buddhism and peak performance, and I knew a lot of mechanisms. But the dial didn't change. The needle didn't shift in my marriage, in how I could show up in my marriage and take ownership before I started doing deep men's work, before I started getting direct coaching. This is just a fact. Tons, years of putting new ideas into my head. This is where Heroic Husbands, Men's Circles, they're going to be launching very soon. I've had initial expressions of interest. I haven't even got the waiting list up. And I've already got emails and voice messages in of guys being interested. You know, there's a hunger of among you guys out there. You're listening in. There's a hunger to become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. And even if that sort of language seems a bit flowery, it's like there's a hunger to just stop the struggle, to stop the pain. It's immensely painful to show up day in, day out with a woman that's just not loving you anymore. You're just not feeling in love with her, and to have that struggle and have that conflict and the profound, we hide away from this, but when you get really real, there's a profound erosion of our confidence in ourselves as men that happens when we feel hopelessness or a helplessness in transforming our marriage. It all begins, this whole thing, it all begins with getting in on the level of perceptions and doing some form of training. That's the Heroic Husband Men's Circles is going to be doing this. I'm going to introduce one key practice that we do. It's one of the foundational training practices. There's lots of different ways. I'm giving you like the absolute simplest version of it. It's called the Physical Emotional Check-In. It's a 2-minute practice. I'm going to describe it here. And if you get curious, you can start doing it yourselves. It does support a lot when you're doing with other guys. You can vicariously look and listen to other guys and go, oh, okay, so every man in the room has, you know, some emotions and has physical sensations. What you do is you touch base with what your physical emotions are, your physical sensations are. Remember, the feminine in us, we're men, but we have a feminine core. It's body and the emotions. This is a feminine. It's reconnecting with the feminine data in your lived experience. The body is feminine. So the physical sensations, you just touch base. It's like, oh, well, what physical sensations am I feeling at the moment? By the way, just a reminder, my past lifetime working as a physiotherapist, a physical therapist for you in the US and Canada, working in chronic pain treatment and management, I saw this link. Men, like, the major issue was the very little connection with their body, with their sensations, what they were feeling. And that was the main driving factor of them having chronic pain. They didn't pick up with these physical sensations. So it's like, what physical sensations am I feeling? Oh, a creak in the neck, or, oh, physical sensation can be like, oh, my heart is beating quite a bit. You know, how often are you ever aware of your heart beating, your heartbeat? Or physical sensation, oh, I'm breathing. You know, the rate of breathing, or butterflies in your tummy, or, you know, aches and pains, or stiffnesses, or stagnations, feelings of lots of aliveness in a body, or just like, oh, it's just like it feels dead in that part. So there's the physical sensations, and then touching base with the emotion underneath that physical sensation. This can be, I know myself, initially, when I came to Deep Mind's work, I found this exceptionally challenging because I just didn't feel emotions. I didn't know how to pick them up. But this is where the training began. And doing this practice, in our variations of this practice with other men, I started realizing, oh, hold on, there's that physical sensation. It's like, oh, I started getting words to describe what I was feeling. You know, for 12 years with Matilda, I didn't know how to open up intimately because I didn't know. I didn't have a vocabulary. I didn't know how to describe any emotion. So I just went numb. I went emotionless, or I was sort of experiencing, but because I didn't have the words to describe them, I just sort of, like, my mind just went blank and it just would not go there, would refuse. Again, touch base with yourselves. Is this like a recurrent issue for you in marriage where your woman is wanting more emotionality from you? She's wanting more sensitivity. She's wanting more feeling from you. She wants you to feel her. But if you can't feel your own emotions, you can't feel her. You can rationally try to describe her. We end up trying to control our women when we don't know how to touch base with our own emotions. That's why we inherently so have such a trigger-happy desire to fix our woman's situation, because we don't know how to feel and be with her, our emotions and with her emotions. Every guy puts the hand up in the room, they're like, yeah, I fucking get that thing. And it all comes from getting so uncomfortable with just touching base with her own body, with the physical sensations and the emotions underneath. And this practice just takes 2 minutes. With practice, you know, you can get quite live and just like recognize in the moment. A few years ago, I couldn't do this. And like, what this is getting is like, you start getting what the print off is of your nervous system in that moment. What are these emotional charges that are in my body? And you can have different emotional charges in different parts, or a predominant emotional charge in the moment in conflict. It might be, oh, like an immense anger comes, or an anxiety, or guilt. You've screwed up again. Or a deep feeling of shame, you know, is trying to take you over. But part of this is you name it to tame it. When you name an emotion, your prefrontal cortex comes in and it takes the sting out of it. It takes it from the subconscious, ancestral, reptilian emotional center, the limbic center, and it brings it conscious. You're now in control. You have an awareness about it. There's the emotion and there's you. There's the physical sensation and there's you. You're the witnessing awareness looking on at it. And then the final part of this check-in is, well, what mental chatter is live in my nervous system? And you start practicing this. And when you start practicing this, a distance comes between the emotion you're feeling, the physical sensation you're feeling, and your mental chatter and you. You start having this space. This is the source of all healing. Carl Jung, who's like the granddaddy of, well, I don't know, like psychotherapy, he's one of the forefathers of it, of deep shadow work. Shadow work informs so much of deep, true deep men's work. He's like, to paraphrase him, it's like, until you can put a distance between yourself and your psyche, it's like no healing can happen. Because that distance between you, the witnessing awareness, remember, the masculine practice in marriage is being embodied consciousness. Embodied consciousness is completely objective. It's not getting caught in the initial printout of thoughts and emotions. So this practice, it's one foundational practice which will be done pretty much every single session in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. One of tons. I'm giving you the simple, rudimentary, most repeated process that will be done because it's so foundational and important. There's everything we're going to be doing in there is working with this initial printout that you take as absolute reality, and then getting feedback and setting challenges and doing trainings and having accountability to like set your nervous system up that it can be more conscious, more aware, more present. And you're going to just come to this profound awareness of, wow, that print off, the story of that my nervous system prints out of thoughts of shame and blame, it's like, man, that just never works. And you're going to start finding this humorous inner awareness, this witnessing aspect of you that can just go, okay, well, funnily enough, when I can become aware really quick that I'm about to put shit on my pancakes. Let's go back to that metaphor. You know, when you can become aware and recognize, well, that shit is not you. You know, it's just a triggered neuronal pattern. It's an habitual pattern from childhood that the print off is coming. Oh, blame my woman. Well, that's putting shit on my pancakes. I've become aware. That way of thinking, it's not me. It's not. There's no absolute truth in it. It's just the initial print off of my brain. That's okay. I'm not going to beat myself up as a result, but I'm not going to put shit on my pancakes. The inner critic beats the shit out of yourself. Oh, shit on the pancakes. Pancakes don't taste good when you put shit on them. I don't literally know that. I just have never put shit on. I think we can all get there. It's a bad idea to put shit on pancakes. Like, it's a bad idea to put emotionality, shaming yourself and thoughts of shame on yourself in a conflict moment. It has never worked. Remember, just reminding, it has never worked in the history of marriages up until this date for any man or woman, any husband out there. It has never, ever worked to bring connection. So why do it? Don't put shit on pancakes. It never works. You start having a distance between yourself and your thoughts and yourself and your emotions, and you start going, okay, you have this total freedom. Okay, I have this, I can name that there's a lot of shame, but I don't need to follow that. Like, what's really happening with my, oh, there's a lot of anger there. Okay, well, if that's like a burp of the past, just come present. I don't need to follow that emotion. I want to create. And then you shunt into conscious presence. You shunt your thinking. You catch the tsunami. You disengage it. It can be present, but you don't follow it. Like one of the profound examples of, you know, in Tibetan Buddhism, when the masters say, it's not your first thought that's the issue, it's the follow-up that you add thereafter. It's not a major issue, guys, that you have a thought of shame, a thought of blame. That's okay. That's the initial imprint. That's the karmic link. That's the neuronal patterning. It's just that you don't give it follow-up. You don't follow up with another 10 thoughts or 100 thoughts afterwards, or you ruminate for the next, you know, 3 or 4 days or a week about how your wife is so wrong. It's the follow-up that you give your power away. It's the follow-up that means that your woman can't trust you and never will trust you until you become aware of this process. All of this work is going to be done in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. Like, send me a voice message. I'm going to have the voice message link. Send me a voice message immediately today if that's triggering your awareness. I'm going to have the landing page and the waiting list that's going to be up super live. Might even get it done today in the coming days. Send me a voice message immediately if you would like to be a part. They're going to be, the price, it's an insane price. It's €149. I think that works out even less in dollars by the going rate for a lot of you guys, US and in Canada and that. I mean, it's an insane price for a monthly subscription for the power of becoming the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. This is going to be a core part of the offering going forward within the Be the Husband She Brags About movement. I want it affordable. I want it accessible for the vast majority. It's like, it's just going to transform everything. Because why? It's all linked in on this being the great perceptual mistake that all husbands make unwittingly. Get the paintbrush back in your conscious control, guys. The default printout of shit on your pancakes is not what you want. It just tastes better to put a bit of sugar on it. Sugar or shit becomes your conscious choice. I'd rather sprinkle a nice little bit of sugar on my woman. Maybe physically sometimes, sexually, I might even try it. But emotionally and mentally, I know my marriage is much sweeter when I'm able to disengage from the old dumping shit onto the situation and making a conscious decision to go, I'm going to sprinkle a little bit of sugar and it's going to taste so much nicer. It takes training. I've had thousands of hours of deep work, of meditation, of a ton of tools that I put into use. Every single thing in this podcast is speaking from that, making that distinct link, practicing heroic humility to be able to find out the truth of where you're truly at, what you're doing with your mind, and making a different choice. That's where the massive transformation happens. It's available to you all. Coming into landing, it doesn't matter how programmed, how trained your mind is for, you know, a printout of disconnection. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how severe. Actually, the more severe it is when you hit training, the more severe it is, the more intense that programming has been, the more you will recognize the value of this new way of going at things, the more it'll be an exciting revelatory path of healing where you're like, oh my God, I'm noticing it and I made a different choice and there was no conflict, or conflict and ended after like 5 minutes rather than, you know, 5 hours. And then 5 minutes becomes 5 seconds, and 5 seconds becomes, there's just no conflict. Working with guys where it's like, oh, I haven't been arguing recently. It's just not happening. Why? Because you start getting the perceptual printout of connecting thoughts. That's potent, and it's available to every single one of you. Send me a voice message with reflections of today, direct expressions of interest in the heroic husbands men's circles. I want to hear from you. This is going to be the most profound platform for, you know, stepping up to become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. Is going to be the core offering of what I'm going to be doing going forward. And yeah, I want to make it accessible because I want like massive change to be happening in your marriage, in your lives, in your sex lives, everything. You deserve it. Your woman deserves this. And the next 7 generations definitely deserves it. Reminding ourselves why we do what we do. Better husbands today. Better world tomorrow. Go have an amazing kingly day.